New Year's Day 50 years ago was a day of mourning for country music fans. Disc jockeys played Hank Williams records back to back. They talked about his career and they grieved his death.
Dear Hank, you see, it was my intentions to write you today as it's been my custom for many years past. Only yesterday I was thinking of some of the things I would mention in my letter. But somehow I think I'll have to change the letter a bit. For an hour or so ago, I received a phone call from Nashville. It was rather a sad call, too, Hank, for it told me that you had died early this morning.
It happened somewhere between Knoxville, Tennessee, and Oak Hill, West Virginia. Hank Williams had hired a young man to drive him to Ohio in time for two holiday concerts. Williams hated traveling like this. The bumpy roads jarred his bad back, and he used drugs and alcohol to blunt the pain. During the night, the driver noticed that Williams wasn't moving in the Cadillac's back seat. He thought the 29-year-old singer had only passed out, but Williams had suffered a severe heart attack. Ironically, just a week before, a new Hank Williams song had debuted on the radio, "I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive."
No matter how struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand.
Hank Williams' music was influenced by his childhood in rural Alabama, by the church, by the elderly black man who taught him to play guitar, and by his troublesome first marriage. Though his recording career only lasted 6 years, more than half of the 66 songs he made under his own name were hits. More than once, Hank Williams cut 3 songs in one afternoon that became standards.
He was the first clear superstar of country music.
Kira Florida is co-author of Hank Williams, Snapshots from the Lost Highway.
His songs, even if you are not a fan of country music, you know them. Your Cheating Heart, Hey Good Looking, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
His lyrics were so distinctive. There's real imagery there about whippoorwills and robins.
His lyrics were just simple and direct, but they were really emotional. He seemed to touch on some themes that were universal, but I don't think they'd been put into a song before him like he did it. Cold, cold heart, wow. That may have described a lot of people's feelings who were in unhealthy relationships, but you put it together with the melody, it adds to the potency. It's just incredibly sad.
I try so hard, my dear, to show that you were my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
Hank Williams found crossover success in 1951 when a young New York singer named Tony Bennett got a hold of Cold, Cold Heart.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream.
Country songs in those days, it was just the Bible Belt, and every record that Hank Williams made sold 350,000 copies only in the Bible Belt. They said, we want you to do a country song. I wondered about it, and the record immediately sold about 2 million records internationally. It was the first country record that sold that many records.
Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
The height of the success of being number one on the charts, I got a call from Hank Williams, and he said, Tony, and I said, yes, Mr. Williams, what is it? He said, what's the idea of ruining my song? I didn't know what to say to him. I was embarrassed. But later on, I found out that any time he passed the jukebox, he'd put a nickel in and play my record of Cold Cold Heart. He really liked it.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me oh my oh.
Hank Williams' last year, 1952, was a rough one. Surgery had failed to correct his deformed spine, and his back pain became agonizing. His first marriage collapsed as his drinking increased. Though he was still churning out hits, like Jambalaya, he'd become so unreliable as a performer that he was fired from the Grand Ole Opry. He got one woman pregnant, then married another, all the while nursing the bottle and a grudge against his first wife that would inspire one of his biggest hits, Your Cheatin' Heart. But by New Year's Day, Hank Williams' heart had had enough.
Hank Williams, the singing idol of millions of Americans, has just answered the call of the last roundup. Even so, if this world should last 1,000 years, Hank shall remain dear to millions of hearts.
Tens of thousands of people attended the funeral, and Williams' musical idols, Roy Acuff and Ernest Tubb, joined Red Foley to sing one of Hank Williams' gospel songs, I Saw the Light. Author Kira Florida says as popular as the singer was in life, death only increased his fame.
Hank was breaking new ground in that way. The funerals before him, when Jimmie Rodgers died, that was a large funeral, but I don't think the nation became aware of it as much as they did when Hank died, and it made the news. And he crossed over more, much more, after his death, and I think part of the reason was because the funeral got attention. There were many more releases. People continued to record his songs, and he turned into a myth.
Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Fans of Hank Williams are expected to visit his grave in Montgomery today. This Saturday, the Grand Ole Opry will commemorate the 50th anniversary of his death with a special performance by his son, Hank Williams Jr., and his grandson, Hank III. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Paul Butts.